said, and he spoke for all the group, he said, we believe and we're sure thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said, we're not going anywhere else because we believe you've got the words of eternal life. And he did then and he does now. And we believe that. And here he is ministering to these men. And it's a wonderful thing that the Lord Jesus ministers to people who are just sinful. And that's all of us. That's the way it was with these disciples. And like I said, there was a lot they didn't know. There was a lot they didn't understand. Even about his death, about the necessity of his sufferings and his death. But he bore very patiently with them. Isn't it great and wonderful that the Lord Jesus is quite patient with us? He was with these men. And now he has them together, and he's just speaking only to them. But while his immediate words were spoken just to these 11 men, God the Spirit had John record these words so that the Lord Jesus is, he's also speaking to us. And to all of those who love him, who've read these scriptures down through the years. And this is what he says to us. They hated me. Who's the they? The religious leaders. The leaders of Judaism. Those who taught that the way to God is by works, by keeping the Ten Commandments, by duties, and so forth. He said, they hated me. They hated me without a cause, as is said in the scriptures. He talks about in their law there in verse 25. And of course the word law is another word for the Old Testament. And he specifically says in the first part of verse 25, but this cometh to pass. In other words, all of this that is going to come to pass, their hatred of me, my arrest, my crucifixion, all of this is coming to pass to fulfill that which was written of me. Now, they did hate him. You remember, he has already indicated to his disciples. He said, now, they're going to hate you because they hate me. And then he said, they hate me because they hate my Father. That's the order. The first hatred of their hearts is a hatred against God. Well, they can't get to God. They don't like the way God is presented in the Scriptures. But they could get to Jesus of Nazareth. So he said, they hate God, and therefore they hate me. And because they hate me, they're going to hate you too. That's the order. Now, though the religious world hates the people of God, we don't want that hatred to be on account of us being hard to get along with or being kind of ornery. You know what ornery means. We don't want to be that way. We want to be like our Lord Jesus was. And, of course, he's the perfect pattern. He wasn't hard to get along with. Well, he was the meekest of all men. He was so tender-hearted and full of mercy. And that's the way we want to be, just like I read there in Matthew chapter 5. We understand naturally what it means earlier in that message when he said, you heard it said, in the law, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, and we understand that kind of dealings. Hey, you mistreat me, I'll get you back. That's natural. But he said, that's not the way to be. That's not the way to be. An enemy hates you, we know our natural response is hatred toward them. But that's not the right response. Our Lord Jesus, he was hated, he was despised by these people. They wound up killing him. You know what he did? He healed their sick. He healed their family members. Quite honestly, I wouldn't have done that, would you? I knew how they treated my family members and how they hated people in my family. No, I'd give it back to them just like they gave it to me. That's only natural. But see, our Lord Jesus is not natural. He isn't carnal like we are. He's spiritual. But He was a real man. And He loved His enemies. That which He instructed us to do in the Sermon on the Mount is exactly what He did. Earlier in the Sermon on the Mount, He said, if they compel you to go a mile, go 2 miles. The Jews were in bondage to the Romans. And a Roman soldier could come up to you and say, hey, you carry this box a mile. Well, the natural response is, carry it yourself. And let me add a little weight to it. That's a natural response. But our Lord said, you tell him this, hey, I'll carry it 2 miles for you. I'll carry it 2 miles. You see, this is the way our Lord Jesus was. He didn't dish out like we would an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Someone said this, to give back evil for evil, that is manlike. That's the way we are. To give back evil for evil is manlike. To give back good for evil, that's godlike. Now you think about that. To give back good for evil, that's godlike. But to give back evil for good, that's devil-like. And that's the way these people are right here. And these, I remind you, are religious leaders. Don't think that these people who just despise Jesus of Nazareth, don't think they're the scum of society, the adulterers and the drunkards and people like that. No, these are the most respected religious leaders of the day. These are the so-called experts on the Bible. And they hated the Lord Jesus, and He says, as it is written in their law, they've read this, they know this, they hated me without a cause. And without a cause just means for no good reason. For no good reason. Our Lord Jesus was the perfect man. He never did any harm to them. He rebuked them, but He rebuked them in response to their vile attitude toward Him. Now, if He had cowered down to them, if He had bowed to their authority, the presumed authority that they thought they had, if He had done that, if He had said, listen, would you men mind if I preached? Could I go to your Bible college? If He had had that kind of attitude, they'd say, well, that's okay. They said, well, who are you? We didn't teach you. Where'd you get your education? Where'd you get your learning? Where'd you get your theology? And He said, I'm come from the Father. From the Father. And they hated Him because He said God was His Father. Because they understood He was saying, I'm equal with God. And we know He was and is. Because if Jesus of Nazareth was not God, if He is not God, He can't help any of us. If He's just like us, if He's weak, if He's mortal, if He can't have His will, if He can't do what He wants to do, if He's just like us, we're of all men most miserable. And we're wasting our time here tonight. The one we worship, the one we adore, the one we believe is God of very God. And He's also bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. why he's qualified to be our Savior. He's so magnificent. He's so perfect. And here he humbled himself. And here he is meeting with his 11 disciples, knowing full well what awaited him. All the sufferings of the cross. All the mockery. All of the lies that would be spoken against him. And he kept his mouth shut. He didn't say a word. He's led as a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before her shearers, he didn't open his mouth. Because he knew this was the will of God. You see, the scripture says here that the word might be fulfilled. The word of God has got to be fulfilled. The purpose of God's got to be fulfilled. He's got to die to save us. God ordained his death. And he knew, and we know, all of these things had to be fulfilled. The word fulfilled means to fill to the full, to complete. And so our Lord Jesus, he's following the path that God ordained for him to follow. And every step of his life, all the way up to and including the cross of Calvary with all of the bearing of the wrath of God in his own body, all of the payment for our debt of sin, all of that, God ordained it before he made the world. And our Savior knew this. This is a fulfillment of the Word of God. And he tells his disciples, this is all coming to pass. To fulfill the word, which is, they hated me without a cause. They have rewarded me with absolute hatred and rejection, though I have shown great kindness and mercy to them. Our Lord was full of compassion, full of tenderness. Anybody who was sick and they brought them to him, he healed them. He never turned anybody away. Never. Didn't matter who brought them. Didn't matter who the person was. In fact, it wasn't even conditioned. The healings were not conditioned upon them believing unto salvation. There were a lot of people who were healed by the Lord Jesus who didn't really believe him from their hearts and were converted by the grace of God and the Spirit of grace. But he healed them anyway. He never met a disease that he shied away from. He never met anybody who came to him for help that he turned them away. This is our benevolent Savior. Even as he doesn't turn anybody away who comes to him now. So if you need mercy, if you need grace, if you need forgiveness, you need acceptance with God, you need righteousness, you need this great salvation, come to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's never turned anybody away and he never will. That's the way he is. This is our wonderful Savior. And they hated him without a good reason. Without a good reason. The words without a cause are also in the Bible translated as freely. So he's literally saying they hated me freely. Freely. That is, there was no reason for it. No reason whatsoever. I tell you the first usage of the word freely in the Bible is in the book of Genesis chapter 2. And you need not turn there. If you want to write the reference down, you can. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 16. God said, of every tree of the garden, thou mayest freely eat. In other words, without condition, without cost, it's just yours. He had one tree. They must not eat of the fruit of that tree. But all of the rest of them, he said, you can eat of them freely. It won't cost you anything. No conditions attached. No conditions. Let me show you a couple of scripture verses. Let's see if you can find the book of Hosea. You know where Hosea is? Go to the, you know, find the book of Daniel. And then go to the last chapter of the book of Hosea, because Hosea is right behind Daniel. Go to the last chapter of Hosea. And we know, I think most of you know, the story of Hosea. Hosea was a prophet of God, a very godly man. And the Lord said, go into a land of whoredoms and marry a woman who grew up under the influence of harlotry. Her name is Gomer. Fall in love with her, court her, date her, marry her. And Hosea did that. And things went good for a while. They had three boys. And then Gomer went back to her kinfolk and back to the people she came from. And she became a harlot herself. She became a prostitute. And she got in debt and lost her good looks. Hosea never stopped loving her, but she left. In fact, he would even take groceries to her. He provided for her, and she would go to the door and see these bags from Kroger's or wherever they had back then. Wasn't Kroger's, but somewhere or other. And that she said, my lovers have been good to me. And all along, it was Hosea who was taking care of her. Just like the Lord in our days of rebellion, he's the one been taking care of us. He's the one been leaving groceries at your door. He's the one been providing for you and for me when we wasn't giving him thought. Well, Gomer, she fell on hard times and she got deep in debt. And then the law came after her. Justice came after her because she owed a debt she couldn't pay. And she had to be auctioned off. She's on the auction block. And she was put out in public in her shame. And back then with slaves, they just stripped them. And there she was naked. Her good looks and beauty and figure and all that that had allured the men, all that's in the past. Now she's rough looking, she's old looking, she's wrinkled looking. There she is in her nakedness and her shame. And they're auctioning her off. And Hosea says, how much does she owe? And they told him, and he said, I'll pay it. And he paid her debt in full. And he went up to her and he took his robe and covered her with it. And he said, you're mine. I never stopped loving you. Not for a moment did I stop loving you, even when you left me. Even when you brought shame to your family. I kept on loving you. Now you're mine. And see, that's the way it was with us. We fell in Adam. And we've done some stupid stuff. We have, all of mankind. But the Lord never stopped loving his people. And he came and divine justice held us for ransom. And as it were, Christ said, what's it going to cost to get these people? I love these people. I want to save these people. What's it going to cost? And divine justice said, here's the price of redemption, your blood, your death. That's why Christ died for our sins. To pay our sin debt. And then we find out by the grace of the Spirit of the Lord, it was our great Hosea, our great Lord Jesus Christ, who's been providing for us all along. And a verse here in chapter 14 and verse 4. Here's what the Lord says, because he likens Gomer to spiritual Israel, those people Christ came to save. And he says here in chapter 14, verse 4, I will heal their backsliding. I will love them without a cause, freely, without condition, without a cost. For mine anger is turned away from him. I'll be as the dew unto Israel, and he shall grow as the lily and cast forth his roots as Lebanon. You know how God loves us? Freely, without condition. You don't do anything to earn the love of the Lord. He loves freely. There's nothing you could do. How could you get the Lord to love you? You and me and our sinfulness, we're not lovable. We're like Gomer after she had wasted her body and her good looks were gone. We're like Gomer. We're shot to pieces. There's no goodness in us. There's nothing lovable about us. The Lord says, I love them freely. Without condition. And that's the way he loves us now. He doesn't say, now if you'll do thus and so, I'll love you. No, that's not what he says. He said, I will love them freely. It won't cost you a thing. This is without condition. It's all on the Lord's part. That's why this is gracious. This is a gracious salvation. A gracious salvation. God's election of us unto salvation. It was because he loved us freely. God's redemption of us in paying our sin debt was because he loved us freely. God's effectual call of us in conversion was because he loved us freely. And then watch this. Here's another reference. Look at Romans chapter 3. Look at Romans chapter 3. I took you to the love of the Lord. He said, I'll love them freely. That's the source of our salvation. What's the source of our salvation? What's the headwaters? You know what the headwaters of something is? That's where it first starts. Well, what's the start of our salvation? The love of God. That's where it started. That's behind it all, is the love of God. And then the source of salvation is free. The method of God's salvation, it's also free. It's justification by grace. Romans chapter 3, verse 24. Being justified freely. Again, think of how our Lord said, they hated me without a cause. That's what the word freely means. And so here we could read this, being justified without a cause. That is, there's no cause in us. Now let's be honest. There's every cause in us for God to damn us. That's right, isn't it? There's every cause in us for us to go to hell. There's no question about that. But if he's gracious to us, if he forgives us, if he receives us, it cannot be because there's some kind of good cause in us. Because he justifies us freely, there is no cause in us for this justification. Which brings up this question, what does it mean to be justified? Well, it means to be righteous in the sight of God. To be righteous before the Lord. The Lord has made us righteous in the Lord Jesus, who is the Lord our righteousness. Here's a verse of Scripture, you know it well, 2 Corinthians 5 and 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We're justified freely. God says you're justified. You're righteous in my sight. Well, Lord, what do I do to get that? Well, you don't do anything. This is without a cause in you. You see, all the cause, all of the reason for this is to be found in the depths of His grace. Of His grace. being justified freely, watch it, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. This grace comes to us freely because somebody else settled the debt. Somebody else satisfied God on our behalf, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And then watch this. Just turn over a page or two to Romans chapter 8. All of the mercies of God are given to us freely without a cause. All of the mercies of God are given to us freely without a cause. Romans chapter 8 and verse 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Freely, without a cost, without condition. See, if you listen to preachers today, a lot of them, they put conditions in here. But all the conditions were met by our Lord Jesus Christ. This is what we need to understand. Everything God demanded in His holiness, in His righteousness, and in His justice, He looked to His darling Son for satisfaction. And the Lord Jesus satisfied Him. And so all of the mercies of God, they come to us with Christ Jesus. Notice the reading of the Scripture very carefully. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. That is, for means in the stead of us all. How shall he not with him? Let me emphasize those two words. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Everything we need for life and everything we need to eternity, God gives us when he gives us Christ Jesus. But understand this, without Christ Jesus, you get nothing. It's all with him. All of God's mercies, all of God's blessings, all of God's salvation, all of God's righteousness, all of the good things that God gives to poor, undeserving sinners, He gives them in the Lord Jesus Christ. And outside of Christ, God's got nothing for you but death and judgment. That's all He's got. But with Christ, He gives you all things freely. I like that because everybody likes something free. Free! And most of the time when you see a sign that says free, there's some conditions attached and you find out it's not really free. It's going to cost you some way or other. But this salvation, hey, it is absolutely free. Absolutely free. And watch this. Let me give you two more references. And this is in the last book of the Bible, Revelation. I give you these two references. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 6. And then Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17. First of all, chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 6. These words are spoken to John, and this is what he says. And he said to me, that is this one who's speaking, which is the Lord Jesus. And he said unto me, it is done. It's finished. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life without condition, freely, without cost, without a cause. He said, I'm such a sinful woman. I'm such a sinful man. I couldn't ever do anything to merit God's salvation. You don't merit God's salvation. He gives it freely. And he gives so freely that there are no strings attached. And that only which is required is the reception of the gift. That's all. And he even gives you the will for that. How much? He couldn't be any better. We have all things in Christ Jesus, and he even gives us faith and repentance. And I'll tell you, if you're athirst, if you're thirsty for this salvation, for this Christ, for this forgiveness, drink freely. Just take it in. Just believe what God said without condition. He doesn't say, now you got to promise to do this and promise to do that. And yeah. No, because we know how our promises are. We tend to break them. So don't come making promises. And here's one last verse, 22:17. Revelation 22:17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And then he says this, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely, without condition, without cost, without a cause, without a cause. And I say, are you thirsty? Boy, there's that glass of water. Thank you, Bill. Bill filled up this glass for me. It's not going to cost me anything. You're not going to charge me, are you, Bill? Not today. It's just free today. Okay? Without condition, without cost, without price. And that illustrates the reception of Christ Jesus in salvation. Without a cost. Let's sing a closing.